Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted. All of Psalm 112. And then looking in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Verses 14 through 17, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Thank you, Father, once again, for the wonderful and the blessed privilege we have of being able to come to you in prayer each and every day. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit with us even now. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have of daily being able to open your word and spend time one-on-one with you as you speak words of life, blessing, grace, peace, and power into our hearts, our minds, our lives. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to be faithful, to read and meditate on your word daily and thus receive the grace and the blessing that's ours as we consume your precious and mighty word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Hey, Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that you'd speak today. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much for loving us on the cross. And thank you so much for making an opportunity for us to come to new life. Thank you so much that we can wait for heaven to spend eternity with you. In a new paradise. Thank you so much, Father. Father, I ask that you'd help us seek your face every day, that we'd read your scripture every day, that we'd read your word every day. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We do appreciate you listening in. I want to remind you, we're asking that you take time daily to pray for the ministry of the American Family Association. We desire and very much need your prayers. Please pray for us as a ministry daily. And we ask for your prayers for this broadcast, which is a tool that through which the Holy Spirit reaches to help believers to become better equipped prayer warriors and to help believers to become more faithful, spirit-filled disciples living and following the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, once again, we're privileged to have with us students from Tupelo Christian Preparatory School, and we've had the privilege of having them on a number of occasions in the past, but we're grateful to have us, a number of the students with us today. Once again, we have with us today in studio Avery, Emma, Thomas, EC, Charlie, and Sila, and they're going to be reading for us the scripture, the following scriptures. They'll be reading Psalm 1, Psalm 23, Psalm 100, Psalm 121, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, and Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 12. So at this time, Avery is going to begin reading Psalm 1.
Blessed is the person who obeys the law of the Lord. They don't follow the advice of evil people. They don't make a habit of doing what sinners do. They don't join those who make fun of the law and his law, Lord, and his law. Instead, the law of the Lord gives them joy. They think about his law day and night. That kind of person is like a tree that is planted near a stream of water. It always bears its fruit at the right time. Its leaves don't dry up. Everything godly people do turns out well. Sinful people are not like that at all. They are like straw that the wind blows away. When the Lord judges them, their life will come to an end. Sinners won't have any in place among those who are godly. The Lord watches over the lives of godly people, but the lives of sinful people will lead to their death.
The Lord is my shepherd. He gives me everything I need. He lets me lie down in fields of green grass. He leads me beside quiet waters. He gives me new strength. He guides me in the right paths for the honor of his name. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. You are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff comfort me. You prepare a feast for me right in front of my enemies. You pour oil on my head. My cup runs over. I'm sure that your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever.
Shout for joy to the Lord, everyone on earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come to him with songs of joy. Know that the Lord is God. He made us and we belong to him. We are his people. We are his sheep belonging to his flock. Give thanks as you enter the gates of his temple. Give praise as you enter its courtyards. Give thanks to him and praise his name. The Lord is God is good. He is his faithful love continues forever. It will last all time. For all time to come.
I look up into the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. He is the maker of heaven and earth. He won't let your foot slip. He who watches over you won't get tired. In fact, he who watches over Israel won't get tired or go to sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is like a shade tree. Your right hand. The sun won't harm you during the day. The moon won't harm you during the night. The Lord will keep you from every kind of harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your life no matter where you go, both now and forever.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. This happened while Herod was king of Judea. After Jesus' birth, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the child who has been born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose. Now we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard about it, he was very upset. Everyone in Jerusalem was troubled too, so Herod called together all the chief priests of the people. He also called the teachers of the law. He asked them where the Messiah was going to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, "This is what the prophet has written." He said, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are certainly not the least important among the towns of Judea. A ruler will come out of you. He will rule my people, Israel, like a shepherd." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men. He found out from them exactly when the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem. He said, "Go and search for carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report him to me. Then I can go and worship him too." After the wise men had listened to the king, they went on their way. The star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them. It finally stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw where the star, they were filled with joy. The wise men went to the house. There they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But God warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod, so they returned to their country on a different road.
Faith is being sure of what we hope for. It is being sure of what we do not see. That is what the people of long ago were praised for. We have faith, so we understand that everything was made when God commanded it. That's why we believe that what we see was not made out of what could have been seen. Abel had faith, so he brought to God a better offering than Cain did. Because of his faith, Abel was praised as a godly man. God said good things about his offerings. Because of his faith, Abel still speaks. He speaks even though he is dead. Enoch had faith, so he was taken from his life. He didn't die. He couldn't be found because God had taken him away. Before God took him, Enoch was praised as one who pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Those who come to God must believe that He exists, and they must believe that He rewards those who look to Him. Noah had faith, so he built an ark to save his family. He built it because of his great respect for God. God had warned him about things that could not yet be seen. Because of his faith, Noah showed the world that it was guilty. Because of his faith, he was considered right with God. Abraham had faith, so he obeyed God. God called him to go to a place he would later receive as his own. He went. He did it even though he didn't know where he was going. Because of his faith, he made his home in the land God had promised him. Abraham was like an outsider in a strange country. He lived there in tents. So did Isaac and Jacob. They received the same promise he did. Abraham was looking forward to the city that has foundations. He was waiting for the city that God planned and built. And Sarah had faith, so God made it possible for her to become a mother. She became a mother even though she was too old to have children. But Sarah believed that the God who made the promise was faithful. Abraham was past the time he could have children, but many children came from that one man. They were as many as the stars in the sky. They were as many as grains of sand on the seashore. No one could count them.
All right. Praise God. Again, you've been listening to the voices of children from Tupelo Christian Preparatory School. Again, we heard from Avery, Emma, Thomas, E.C., Charlie, and Selah. Lord, thank you for these, your precious children. Thank you for the opportunity we as parents and grandparents have of having our children to read your word on a daily basis out loud so that they can be blessed and encouraged by it. And Lord, thank you for the fact that as our children read your word, they're spending time with Jesus. They're spending time in the presence of Jesus. They're spending time where Jesus is reaching into their hearts and ministering to their minds, their bodies, their entire being. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would help us to be wise enough to recognize the need for us to live a life where we fill our hearts and our minds with your word, and we're wise enough to have our children read to us so that they too can be blessed by your precious and powerful and grace-filled word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Praising you.
Music from Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life and eternal salvation. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We had the privilege once again of having some beautiful children from Tupelo Christian Preparatory School read the Word of God for us, and they did a great job. And sometimes you might think to yourself, well, wonder what the voice of God sounds like. Well, sometimes God's voice sounds surprisingly like that of a little child when he or she is reading the Word of God. The Word of God is the voice of God. It's the counsel of God. It's the wisdom of God. It's the heart of God. And it's so, so much more. And so on a pretty regular basis, we're encouraging you to become a diligent student of God's Word. If you're not reading at least three chapters in your Bible every day, today is a great day to start that very wise, very fruitful habit. And for parents, we're encouraging you to start the habit of having each of your children to read at least three chapters out loud to you every day. Why do they need to read to you? Well, the fact is, of course, it's true often when if a parent tells their child to go and read their Bible, often they'll do that. But then sometimes some of them might go to their room and take a nap. Some might go play a video game. And then when asked, Johnny, did you read your Bible? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. And if you say to yourself, well, my child wouldn't lie to me. Well, let me ask you this question. Did you ever lie to your parents? The reality is, if you have them read to you, dad or mom, you know that they've read and you know that the Word of God, the eternal Word of God, has been planted once again in your child's heart and mind for that day. So that habit will bless you. It will bless your child. It will bless your household as well. So whatever number of your children that you may have, having each of them to read to you is very, very wise. Reading from the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1, it tells us these words. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. All of Psalm 19. At this time, as we often do, I'm going to take time to share an article. And once again, we're encouraging you, please email us to get a copy of the article. But it's meant to be a tool to help strengthen you in your walk with the Lord, but also a tool to help you to disciple your family as well, but also a tool to forward and share with other persons, fellow church members, family members, fellow workers on the job, saved and unsaved individuals as well. Again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And the title of this article, Children Who Read the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Again, Psalm 119, verse 105. And then 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Again, 1 Timothy 4, 13. Then Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Then Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Many parents have never encouraged their children to read the Word of God out loud to them. It's simply not been a priority. Christian parents often take their children to Sunday school and church, and that's a great thing. That's a very wise thing on their part. But sadly, having their children to read the Word of God out loud every day to them at home, along with church attendance, has just not been a priority for many parents. Allow me to make a case for why it would be very wise to change this reality. Consider this important question and the answers to it. What happens when a child reads the Word of God? What takes place in the life of a young person who is faithfully taking time to read God's Word every single day? That child is spending time with Jesus. He or she is spending time interacting with Jesus as they take time to read His Word. That child is spending time listening to the wisdom, the grace, the power, and insight of the Creator of the universe. See John 1:1, John 6:63, and Romans 12:1 and 2. What more productive activity could your child possibly be doing? That young person is receiving the most powerful, life-changing, and uplifting insight in all of the universe. The transforming power of the Word of God is working on the mind and the heart of this young person. The Word of God is impacting this youth in many very fruitful ways. Again, see Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Proverbs chapters 1 and 2. This youth is spending time in the presence of God, in the presence of Christ and God. And when any person spends time in the presence of God, he or she will not be the same on the other side of that time. See John chapter 1, verse 1. Researchers at the Center for Bible Engagement found some interesting insights about the importance of and the place of reading Scripture in the life of a believer. According to their research, the life of someone who engages and spends time in Scripture four or more times a week looks radically different from the life of someone who does not. They discovered that the lives of believers who do not engage the Bible most days of the week, that is, 3 days or less, are statistically the same as the lives of unbelievers. Spending time reading and meditating on Scripture daily is much more important than so many grasp. So parents, if you begin the family habit of having your child read the Word of God out loud to you daily, great things can begin to happen in your child's heart. Why is it important for your child to read out loud to you, the parent? Because you know for sure that he or she has spent that time reading the Word of God on that given day. Sometimes a parent may tell a child, go read your Bible. Maybe the child will, maybe he or she won't. Our children are human beings. And as much as we like to think our children do what we tell them, that's not always quite what happens. When you make time each day to have them read the Word of God out loud to you, you can know this for a fact. You know that they've spent time reading the Word of God on that day. Children and youth today are filling their minds with something. Sadly, too often, they're filling their minds with darkness, toxic information, and wicked worldly thinking and perspectives. Too many youths have filled their minds with pornography, online garbage, demonic insights from dark movies and TV shows, horror movies, etc. And too many youths spend hours playing dark video games and doing things online that are very negative spiritually, mentally, and otherwise. The blessed Word of God is pure light. There's absolutely nothing better for our children spiritually, mentally, and emotionally than the Word of God. We're told in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Word of God heals all the ills of life. It's pregnant with the ability to bless us. The transforming power of God's word is undeniable. It's powerful, and it is very mighty in every way for good. Beginning the habit of having your child read God's word out loud daily is very fruitful. It's a great way to help focus the power of God's word onto and into the lives of our children. Today is a great day to start the family discipleship goal with your children. It will help produce eternal fruit in their lives. Again, the title of that particular article, again, is Children Who Read the Word of God. And if you'd like to get a copy, simply email us again, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We certainly hope that you will take the time to do that. Now, we're going to share an additional article as well. And again, our hope is that you'll email us to get copies of each of the articles that we share. It's related, but it's not quite the same, addressing quite the same topic. This article is entitled, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. Again, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Then Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 7 tells us, Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forsake and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Proverbs 4, verses 1 to 7. Then Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Again, Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. Parents carry their children in their hearts. Their children are very important to them and precious to them. As parents, we want the absolute best for all of our children in every area of life. A very important truth for all parents to be mindful of is that the best we can give to our children is Jesus. The greatest gift that they can ever receive in life is Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus is eternal life. So, as parents, we are very wise to do all we can to help and encourage our children to receive Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Once your child is saved, it's one of the great responsibilities of Christian parents to disciple them. It's our calling from the Lord to help and guide our children to become strong, vibrant believers who love and follow Jesus Christ in their life and lifestyle. We're reading from an article entitled, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. We'll be right back. music of Covenant Church with I Will Lift Up My Eyes. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We were sharing with you from one of the articles that is a discipleship article, some of the resources that we provide. Keep in mind, if you'd like to get copies of these articles, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. The title of this particular article, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. Picking up once again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, that was Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Parents carry their children in their hearts. Their children are very important to them and precious to them. As parents, we want the absolute best for all of our children in every area of life. A very important truth for all parents to be mindful of is the best we can give to our children is Jesus Christ. The best gift they can ever receive in life is Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus is eternal life. So as parents, we're very wise to do all we can to help and encourage our children to receive Christ, as their personal Lord and Savior. Once your child is saved, it's one of the great responsibilities of Christian parents to disciple them. It's our calling from the Lord to help and guide our children to become strong, vibrant believers who love and follow Jesus Christ in their life and their lifestyle passionately. Why is this so important? First of all, we are commanded to make disciples. See Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. And this very important calling is to start with ourselves and then move directly to our families, our spouses, and children. So in considering the great responsibility of discipling our children, just what are some steps or practical, quote-unquote, building blocks we're to utilize? What are things we can do to effectively and practically carry out this important responsibility and calling? Let's consider a few things a parent can do to help their children to become strong Christians and to grow up in the Lord. The following are some practical things, ideas and suggestions Christian parents can do to help and encourage their children to come to know the Lord and to grow in their faith as well. Number one, pray daily with your children. Pray the Lord's Prayer with them and allow them to lead the leading of the Lord's Prayer sometimes. Pray Psalm 91 daily with them. Allow them to hear you call their name in prayer every day. Give your children incentives to memorize and learn Bible-based prayers. Number two, have your child read no less than 3 chapters in the Word of God daily out loud to you. You can find shorter chapters, that is, Psalms, or simply select a given passage for younger children. For children who do not yet know how to read, let them repeat short passages of Scripture after you. Number three, and some of those could include Psalm 1, Psalm 23, Psalm 100, etc. Number three, ask your child questions about what they've read. What are 2 or 3 important things he or she heard or picked up in what they read? What stood out? Number four, teach your children to obey the Word of God. Teach them to be doers of the Word of God. See James 1, 22. Number five, teach your children the meaning of each of the 10 commandments. Have them to memorize them. Teach them to pray the 10 commandments every day for the church and our nation. Also, parents, it's very important for us to recognize this reality. Someone or something will disciple your child one way or another. In other words, certain people or things will capture your child's attention, interest, and/or heart in this world. Some of these could include celebrities, sports figures, television, the internet, things on his or her cell phone, video games, people they quote-unquote meet in chat rooms, etc. Some topics that they come across on the internet may captivate them and their minds and their interest. And yet these things can begin to quote-unquote disciple our children in some wrong ways. Some of these things can begin to mold their thoughts, their thinking, and their perspectives about life and the world in too many wrong and twisted ways. And too often the results can be tragic. Consider sad incidents that have been in the news as of late. Some news stories in recent times include, number one, a teenage boy who was shot and killed by an individual as he tried to run away after stealing something from a store. Number two, elementary-age children attempting and sometimes succeeding in committing suicide. Number three, young people committing suicide after being bullied online or in school. Number four, three young girls went off into the woods and two of them tried to stab the third one to death. The young girls survived, but where do the girls get ideas and thoughts to do such a thing? And number five, a teen recently walked into a school and began to shoot, murdering a number of his classmates. Tragically, the list of news stories could go on and on. Where do these children and youth get the ideas and thoughts to do such things? Too often the devil, through the internet and social media, TV and movies, is discipling them in darkness. Too often these young people are consuming darkness by the gallon. Some of these young youths may attend church, but many of them, while they consume darkness and put so much negative information and ideas into their minds, may literally never or almost never even open a Bible and read it. Parents, without question, we have much work to do in discipling our own children, and we have much work to do through the church in reaching youth in our communities as well. Yet greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We don't have to be fearful of what we see in the world today. We simply have to trust our Heavenly Father and diligently be about his business. God can work through each of us as parents to help our children greatly grow up in the faith. Not only can we help them to avoid being victims of this wicked world, but we can also help them to become kingdom warriors. And as kingdom warriors, they can help to bring Christ, the solution to all of the world's problems, to a world that desperately needs to know him. Again, the title of that article is The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. And then finally, one last article we'd like to share. And again, we're hoping, inviting you to email us to get copies of all three of them. This final article is simply entitled, The Child Warrior. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 to 9. Then Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly, to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Again, Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20. Spiritual warfare is a reality of life. Life is not a playground. Life is not a beach. Life is a battlefield. So it's critical that we understand that life is not a game. It's not a game in which those who oppose you think themselves to be bound by a certain set of rules. The devil is our enemy, plain and simple. He hates all people, especially people of faith. This is the truth for every man and woman on earth. But know that this is not a reason for any believer to despair. Be mindful that Christ told us, but take heart, I have overcome the world, John 16:33. Spiritual warfare is a reality for children and youth as much as it is for adults. It doesn't change for children and youth just because they're young. The devil isn't trying to give children a break. He doesn't care about children. He hates children and wants to destroy them. We as followers of Christ would be wise to do our part to very effectively equip our children for the battlefield of life. We would be wise to seek to equip them to be young warriors that every day have to step out on the same battlefield we do. How tragic it is to see in the news children as tragic casualties in the spiritual warfare of life. Teens murdering other teens, youth and children committing suicide, very young children hooked on drugs and selling them, children bullying the other children, and the list could go on and on. We are wise to seek to help our children to become Christian warriors, spiritual warriors, because this helps them to be in the most advantageous position they can be in life. And that position is in knowing Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior and living a life boldly following him. That's a Christian warrior. So now, allow me to define a Christian warrior. The following are some traits of a strong Christian warrior. He or she is a person who's accepted Christ as his or her personal Savior. This person is also growing spiritually and is becoming a diligent student of the Word of God, probably reading and meditating on at least 3 chapters in the Word of God daily. Next, this believer is a person of prayer who makes time and spending time in prayer a priority. Next, this person of Christ is seeking to live out the Word of God in his or her daily life. Next, this believer is faithfully seeking to be a witness for Christ, learning to faithfully share the gospel of Christ wherever he or she may go. And then finally, this believer is also faithfully involved in making disciples, encouraging believers to grow and grow strong in their walk with Christ. One might ask, are these characteristics of a warrior that should be taught to our children and youth as well as adults? Absolutely, yes. For time reasons, we're going to end there. But the title of that third article is The Child Warrior. If you want to get a copy, email us again, joseph@afr.net. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you have never made the eternally important decision of inviting Jesus Christ into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day to make that decision. If you want to make that step, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with us even now? Simply from your heart, repeat it with us. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live my life completely for you. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're very much wanting to connect with you and share with you some literature and resources that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong and put down deep roots in your new walk with Christ. Email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We definitely hope to hear from you. Please email us again, joseph@afr.net. And if you're wanting copies of the articles we shared earlier, again, the 3 articles, again, entitled Children Who Read the Word of God, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children, and The Child Warrior. 1 or all 3 articles, again, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get them to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.